We are studying in prayer meeting a book entitled From Sabbath to Sunday. And if you come out on Wednesday night, you'll be able to hear from our elders and our teachers how the Sabbath was changed from Sabbath, Saturday to Sunday. They're taking us back in history and showing us through history how this process occurred, how the Sabbath was gradually changed to Sunday, how man took God's holy day and tried to change it. He tried to change it. And we're just having a wonderful time at prayer meeting. And the book, I don't know if anyone has that book with them right now. Karen, you did a wonderful job, our elder, this past Wednesday night. And I just want to thank our elders' team for leading out in our prayer meetings. Boy, I tell you, you just did an excellent job. And I love your excitement about how the Sabbath was changed. And you need to come out and see why. You need to be able, Seventh-day Adventists need to be able to explain how the Sabbath was changed to Sunday. Amen. Otherwise, it's kind of embarrassing when you talk to somebody who worship on Sunday who really think that Sunday's the right day. You need to be able to explain to them why you go to church on Sabbath, right? And how it happened over a long period of time. It didn't happen overnight. This change has occurred over many years, and how man tried to change God's holy day. And I'm going to tell you, this is why the Sabbath is going to be so important in the last days. If you look at the commandments, all of the other commandments have a lot of self-interest in them. See, the Sabbath commandment, we're going to have to just believe it and go on by faith because God said it. See, there's no self-interest in the Sabbath. The other commandments, thou shalt not kill. I don't want to be killed. I don't want nobody to steal from me. I don't want anybody to take my wife. I don't want nobody to lie. So you see what I'm saying? There's a lot of self-interest in the other commandments. But the Sabbath is the only one where really there's no self-interest in it. All we need to, we just need to rely on, we keep the Sabbath because God told us to keep it. The sun comes up on Sabbath just like it comes up on Tuesday. And does it stop raining on Sabbath? Rains on Sabbath, storms on Sabbath. The only reason why we keep the Sabbath, and this is why it's going to be a test in the last days, we're going to have to keep the Sabbath because God says so. It reminds me of the Garden of Eden when Eve, remember when Eve was tempted with the fruit? We call it an apple. We don't know what it was, but it could be mango. If you're from the islands, it could be a mango, whatever. But the fruit was perfect. There was nothing wrong with the fruit. But why didn't Eve eat the fruit? Why did she disobey? What was God's command about the fruit? What did God say? God said, "Don't touch the fruit." Now, there's what anything wrong with the fruit? He just said. Don't touch it. See, the Sabbath, God just says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That's my word. You just do it. I don't have to give you a reason. You just do it. See, the other commandments have reasons. There's self-interest involved. And that's where faith comes in. We're going to have the faith to believe God at his word. We go to church on Sabbath because God said so. Kind of reminds you of my mother, how many times she didn't give me a reason for telling me to do the things that she wanted me to do. This is old school now. you new school mothers, you know, you have reasons. You sit down with the children, explain to them, and tell little Johnny the psychology behind it. But see, my mother didn't know all that. My mother said, get in your room, and if I asked why, I'd have to duck. And she would just say, because I said so. She didn't go through all this explaining and why you had to do it. She just said, because I said so. And guess what? I did it. Because in my mind, I was thinking about the consequences if I didn't do it. God says, keep the Sabbath because I said so. That's where faith comes in. But anyway, I kind of went off on a... But the Sabbath is important. Very important. We have to know why we keep it. As I said earlier, our Quizorama team is studying the book of 2 Chronicles. And that's where the topic of our sermon will be taken from today. As we look at the book of 2 Chronicles, I want to thank our elder for reading our scripture. Reading, would you turn to me to 2 Chronicles, the 34th chapter. Let's look to the Lord as we open the Word of God. I hope you have your Bibles with you. 2 Chronicles, the 34th chapter. Father, as we bow before you this Sabbath morning, give us listening ears, Lord, and may I explain things in such a way, Lord, that your people may understand it, Lord. And I pray that you would say to your people today the things that I forget to say. Speak to them, Lord, through your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I thank God for our worship service today. You know, worship means more than just this time of hearing the Word of God. The worship includes our Sabbath school, the teaching of the Word, the singing. Worship is all of that. And then we come now to the preaching of the Word. 2 Chronicles, the 34th chapter, if you have it in your Bible, say amen. Amen. Let's read. It says, Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And I'd like for everyone to read this with me, verse 2, if you have it there. Read it with me. It says, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Amen. Amen. 8 years old when he became the king. I often wonder, 8 years old, what do 8-year-old boys, what are they interested in? Maybe playing Legos or skateboarding or video games and things like that, reading. 8 years old when he became ruler. That's a quite young, but the Bible tells us he was an obedient young man. 8 years old, and as we look at Chronicles, and you know, this book is so full of kings and good kings and bad kings. It lists all the good kings, and I'd like to just entitle this message, The Blessings of Obedience, The Blessings of Obedience. And I was thinking about Josiah, so young there when he came into rulership. You know, his great-great-grandfather was Hezekiah, the good king. And then Hezekiah wanted to live how many years longer? He prayed for 15 years. He asked God to give him 15 years more, and God gave it to him. Amen. But unfortunately, Hezekiah had a son. You remember his son's name? Manasseh. Manasseh was an evil king. He was one of those evil kings. Manasseh, wasn't he? And didn't follow the Lord. And then he had a son, Ammon. It's all there in chapter 33. Ammon was Manasseh's son. And then he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Chapter 33, verse 22. But he did evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh had done. You know, some things are just passed down, aren't they? If you have an evil daddy, you need to be careful. You know, and that's how cycles are in families, amen? There's some things I could look back at my grandparents and say, wow, you know, I'm kind of like that too, and I don't like that, you know. And you don't want to be like that, but it's just the cycles that happens in families. You know, here Manasseh was a wicked king, had a son that did evil. Sacrifice in verse 22, chapter 33, Manasseh had done for Ammon, his son, sacrifice to all the carved images which his father Manasseh had made and served them. These are God's people serving idols. And in chapter 33, verse 23, this is Ammon. The Bible says he did not humble himself before the Lord as his father Manasseh had humbled himself, but Ammon trespassed more and more. Then what happened? Then his servants conspired against him and killed him in his own house. Man was so evil, his servants murdered him in his own house. His servants. Then in verse 26 of chapter 33 says, but the people of the land executed all those who had conspired against King Ammon. Then the people of the land made his son Josiah king in his place. Isn't it something how God comes around again? You know, they had two evil, Manasseh and Ammon, and then God said, okay, it's time for me to call one of my children home. And he called little Josiah, 8 years old, to take on that big responsibility of rulership. And I just think of little Josiah. You know, there was nothing in his DNA that he would do good. You know, he had nothing in his DNA. His father was evil. His grandfather was evil. You know, some people have, you know, my wife, her dad was a pastor. You know, so he's a good man. You remember Elder Canson? So she got good genes, you know. You know what I'm saying? Elder Canson was a good man. She could look back and say, you know, my dad did this. And he did. He baptized me at 9 years old right here in this church. She could look back and say, you know, but King Josiah couldn't do that. He looked back at his daddy and said, his daddy was evil. Worshiped idols, and my granddad was evil, Manasseh. You know, there was nothing in his DNA that would help him out. And I often wonder, how did he do right? The Bible says, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. He walked in the ways of his father David, and he did not turn aside to the right or to the left. Good son. Would have made his evil father proud of him. How did he do right? What was in him? And I often wonder, man, I wish I had that passion that little Josiah had. You know, he did what was right. At 16, he seeks the Lord in this chapter 34. And in his 12th year, he began to purge Judah. And the Bible says that he began to raise taxes to repair the temple. Somebody said taxes are good. And let the church say nothing. But verse 14. His heart in verse 14 says, now when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of God given by Moses. He was reigning and he didn't even have a Bible available. What's driving this young man? There's nothing in his DNA to compel him to do so. They hadn't even seen the Bible in decades. No one knew where it was. It was missing. Josiah had never heard of the scriptures before. They were hidden. In verse 19, when the king heard the word of God, he got up and tore his robe and said, "I've got to know more." One of the most important things we can have is a heart to read and study God's word. What's in this king's DNA? What is driving this young man? Whatever's driving him, I want it to drive me as well. Amen? Then we go over to verse 27 in chapter 34. Here we see what was driving this young man and why God had a special place for Josiah in his heart. Verse 27 of chapter 34 says, "Because your heart was what? Tender. And you humbled yourself before God when you heard his words against this place and against its inhabitants. And you humble yourself before me, and you tore your clothes and wept before me. I also have heard you, says the Lord." What was driving him? Your heart was tender toward God. His heart was responsive to God. He listened to the Holy Spirit speaking to him as a young boy. And he responded. He had a listening heart. I want that kind of heart. A heart that longs to know what God is saying. The Bible says he didn't waver to the left nor to the right, but he stayed on course. I want that kind of heart today. You want that kind of heart today? And you know, sometimes we associate tenderness with weakness and, you know, kind of being feminine a little bit. You know, guys don't want to be tender. You know, that word when I was growing up was, we didn't want to be associated with it. We wanted tough. I like tough. You know, we don't want tender, but God calls for us to have a tender heart. Paul had a tender heart, rough as he was. He used to murder people. But he had a tender heart. He associated, one passage, he likens himself to a mother and having compassion over the people he loved so much in the New Testament. God longs for us to have a tender heart. And little Josiah adhered to the word of God. He was obedient to God. And obedience has rewards. The blessings of obedience. Why are we obedient? Is it just to be rewarded when we go to heaven? You know, we're so used to raising our children now. Okay, Johnny, if you're good, I'll give you a reward. See, that's how we were raised. You know, once we do, we still do the same thing today in church. You know, we feel like if we lead out a lot, we're going to heaven. You know, we do a lot. The more we do in church, the more in good standing we are. We know that we're not saved by our works, amen? There's nothing we can do. We're saved by grace, amen? But we have this attitude like, you know, we want rewards. I'm going to tell you, the reward we get, you know, we think of heaven as even walking on the pearly streets of gold and the gates and having a mansion in heaven. We're going to get rewarded for our works down here that we did. And we lose track of what obedience is all about. And many people object to this reason why we, this reward, obedience reward type of thing. You know, we're going to get rewarded. Our reward will be being with Jesus when we get to heaven. See, that's the greatest reward, Sister Morgan. Just being with him is enough for me. You know, I just want to be close to him. I don't care about the mansion and the streets of gold and the fruit we talk about. I just want to be close to him, and I'll be reunited with him in perfect harmony. I'm going to enjoy heaven just being with Jesus. I want to look at him face to face. I want to embrace him. I want to have fellowship with him. And this is what we lost in the Garden of Eden. This is what Adam lost, that fellowship with Jesus. And I thank God that one day we're going to see Jesus. And we're going to forget all about the cares of this world. He's going to wipe away all of our tears. We're not going to remember all the dirt and the trash down here that we did. Somebody told me Timothy Green was in the house today. Where is Timothy Green? You remember all the rough stuff we used to do, Timothy, around the church? You remember running around the church, pushing each other into the older folk and throwing rocks and stuff. We won't remember that no more. When we see Jesus, that's going to be our reward. And we don't do good just to be rewarded. We do right because it's right. Not to get rewarded. I just want to see my Jesus one day. And I want to hear his voice say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And that's why it's important as we study the Bible that we are obedient to Jesus. I may not be able to explain everything, but when God says do it, I want to be able to do it. When he says keep the Sabbath, I want to be able to keep the Sabbath holy. Friday sundown, Sabbath sundown. Just because he said so. Just because he said so. And then one day we will be regarded. We'll be rewarded in heaven. You want to go to heaven one day? I want to go to heaven and just rejoice and sing. And some of you can't sing down here on earth. You'll be able to sing in heaven. You'll be able to sing with the heavenly choir because we're going to have perfect bodies in heaven. Amen? Perfect bodies. No blemishes. No proactive stuff. You know that stuff you put on your face to get rid of the pimples? Won't be any proactive stuff in heaven because there'll be no more blemishes on your face. No more facelifts. You don't have to get your face lifted in heaven. Your face will already be lifted. No more facelifts in heaven. Perfect. No more aching knees and shoulder pain and back pain. I woke up with a pain in my back this morning. No more pain. We will be in perfect harmony. And we'll be able to communicate. One good thing I love about heaven is we'll be able to communicate with each other honestly. Face-to-face communication honestly with one another without feeling any insecurities. Many times when we talk to people, we're thinking about what we're going to say next and how they're going to feel about us and what we, you know, all this stuff. But there'll be pure face-to-face, honest communication in heaven. Praise God. Just to see Jesus one day. And if we want to get there, we have to practice fellowshipping with him down here. How do we do that? Well, the Bible says, love your enemies. Oh, now here's the hard work now. Now the hard work comes in. Bible says love your enemies, for great is your reward going to be in heaven if you love your enemies. The practical side of it, loving each other. fellowship with one another, doing kind deeds with one another. Praise the Lord. I want to be in heaven one day. And as we close today, you can just get just a little music. John, maybe you can just tinkle a little bit on the piano. Oh, how I want a heart, a listening heart. You know, Peter had, he was a rough fisherman, but Peter changed. He had a listening heart. He had a listening heart for God. And just to be able to see Jesus. Matthew 5:8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. They shall see God. And it's going to take the Holy Spirit to work within us to get to that point. So, there's reasons to be obedient to God. There's blessings in being obedient to God. God will reward us with His presence in heaven. Oh, I want to be there one day when He comes. When He comes. When He comes. You'd like to be there when Jesus comes. If you want to be obedient, I know, I don't know if you're a Sabbath keeper, but the Sabbath is on my mind this morning. I was reading something that Josiah did. Chapter 34. Let's look at verse 32 and then we'll close. Josiah, the Bible says, had purged Judah, he had brought true worship back. Then in verse 31 it says, then the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul to perform the words of the covenant that were written in this book. And then look what Josiah did. And I want us to do this morning. And he made all who were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin do what? Take a stand. So the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. Josiah stood up and told them to take a stand. I don't know if you're a Sabbath keeper today. But I want those today who really want to keep the Sabbath holy because God said so. He said so. We don't need any other reason to do it. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And I'm sure Josiah was a Sabbath keeper. And my appeal today is just to ask you this question, and I want you to stand. If you want to be a true Sabbath keeper, why don't you stand to your feet? You want to be a better Sabbath keeper. You want to be ready one day when we may not be able to keep the Sabbath, when the doors are locked on the church. May not be able to keep the Sabbath. We may not have the religious freedom we have. But thank God we have it today. Let's not take it for granted. I want to be a better Sabbath keeper today. Why? Because God said so. It's one of His commandments. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Lord, help our tongues as we talk to each other on the Sabbath. Let us remember that this is a holy and righteous day. It's been set aside for us. It's been sanctified. I thank the Lord for this day. You want to be a better Sabbath keeper. Maybe you want to come down and make a vow before the Lord like Josiah did. He made the people take a stand. He said he made all those present in Jerusalem and Benjamin take a stand. You want to take a stand for the Sabbath. Maybe you're not a Sabbath keeper, and you want to try to be a better Sabbath keeper. I want to invite you down to the altar today. You want to be a better Sabbath keeper. Friday sunset to Saturday sunset, I want to keep the Sabbath better in my life. Step out on faith. God will help you. God promised you he would help you keep the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a holy day. It's holy time. Will you bow at me and pray? Father, you've seen those who have come to the altar, Lord, just to have the desire in their heart to keep all of your commandments, Lord. Even the Sabbath day. Lord, we're living in a time where your laws are being thrown away and ignored, Father. Lord, but we want to be strong in your word today. We want to be obedient like little Josiah. He didn't waver to the left or waver to the right, Father, but he was steadfast. And you rewarded him with because of his obedience, Father. Lord, give us that type of drive, Lord. Or it may not be in our DNA, Father. We may not even know our father, grandfathers, Lord. But Lord, Holy Spirit, come upon us and change us so we're not repeating the same cycles, Lord, in our families. Help us to be strong Sabbath keepers, Lord. Why? Because you said so in your word. We thank you for your holy word, Lord. I thank you for your Holy Spirit, Father. I thank you for those who have come down, Lord. I thank you for this church. I thank you for your workers, Lord. Thank you for your people today coming together to worship you, Father. Lord, there's something about this fellowship today that we thank you for, Lord. We need it. We need this fellowship today, Father, in your house. We give you praise, Heavenly Father. We give you praise and give you glory today. We lift up your name, Father. Because, Lord, we know that one day every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, let the church say amen. Say it again. Say it one more time. Amen and amen.